I'd like to read, first of all, from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. It simply says, "Who himself," that is Jesus, "who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree." And then, secondly, still in 1 Peter, but in chapter 5, verse 7, where it says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he cares about you." During a gospel preaching, an old Scottish preacher quoted three texts, the first of which was my first text, "Who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree," to which he added the comment, "There's my sins away." His second text was, "Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares about you," adding, "There's my cares away." His last text was from John's Gospel, chapter 14, that lovely quote, "I am coming again and will receive you to myself." And the old preacher added, "There's myself away. Sins away, cares away, and greatest of all, himself away to be with Christ forever." These are three of the simple but essential elements of the Christian gospel. The gospel story is not an intellectual exposition to appeal to the human mind, but in its essence, it is a message from the heart of God and is aimed at your heart and mine, and it demands a response. The message itself is centered on a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ, who has completed an amazing work at Calvary's cross so that the burden of our sins can be removed. And not only has he been on the cross, but he's been in death, and he's risen from the dead. And as risen from the dead, he is available to help us through our cares and concerns. In these current times in which we live, you will hardly meet anyone who's not carrying some burden. It may be a burden of poor health, a burden caused by the loss of a loved one, a financial burden, or the burden of old age. Young folks may have burdens relating to school and college life and as to what career to follow. Parents may be carrying burdens regarding their families. Governments have massive burdens that appear impossible to solve. Burdens in the whole human race are many and varied. But there is one burden that is common to all. The person at the summit of the social ladder has that burden, just as the homeless person who spends his night on the streets. Young and old alike, rich and poor, persons from every nation in the world share this burden that's common to the whole human race. Kings, presidents, so-called stars of a variety of human cultures all carry this common burden. But let me ask, what is it? What is this burden? It is the burden of sin, the burden of realizing that you're a sinner before God. Therefore, from this standpoint, every person in the world is found on the same level. There is no difference. The Bible tells me that, in that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How can this burden be removed? Can it be shaken off? Can we complete some work that will justify the removal of the burden? Will living a good life make the burden easier? Will money pay for its removal? Nothing that any of us can achieve will remove the burden of our sins. Is the sinner's case hopeless then? Is there nothing that you and I can do to change the situation? From a human point of view, there is nothing that any of us can do. What a terrible situation. The stain of sin lies on each one of us, and God's word reminds us that the wages of sin is death. How bleak our plight is, but that is when God, the God who has been sinned against, reveals what he has done in sending his Son, Jesus, into the world. What love lay behind the coming of Jesus, and marvellous grace as he moved amongst men and women, relieving them of their burdens and distresses. The prophet of old, Isaiah, says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." But it required more than a perfect life to relieve us of the burden of sin. Sin and sins had to be settled at the cross of Calvary. And so that pathway that shone grace and goodness on every weary soul that the Saviour met had to lead to the cross. I do not linger over the travesty of justice when he was condemned to die, nor on what was meted out to him by the cruel actions of men. I would take you to that cross, because what was enacted there opens up the way for the burden of our sins to be lifted. The hymn says, "Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near." If you want your burden lifted tonight, draw near to that cross. As you gaze with wonder at the one who hung there and hear him utter that amazing prayer, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Just think, he hung there for you. He suffered there for you. And at that scene, as that scene is shrouded in darkness for 3 hours, what do we learn? He who was sinless had become the one offering for sin that alone could satisfy a righteous and holy God. In these 3 hours, God was dealing out unsparing judgment on sin on the head of Jesus. What a solemn scene. But linger there, and you hear that Blessed One say, "It is finished." What words! All that needed to be done was done. The one who bore the judgment was there taking the place of all who put their trust in him. And the wonder is, dear friends, that God is fully satisfied with that work. But that work also means that you and I, as sinners with no hope, can claim that work as meeting our sins and prove that divine forgiveness and blessing can be ours as trusting the one who did it all. Do you want rid of the burden of your sins? Calvary's work is the basis for their removal, and the one who met it all can be your Saviour as you put your trust in him. Trusting in him brings peace to the soul. Sin's history has been met by that atoning work, witnessed to by the blood of Christ, which is able to cleanse from all sins. So the question might be asked, where is the Saviour now? Where can you find him? He's gone from the cross. Loving hands took him down from that cross and laid his body in a new tomb. Can we visit that tomb to see where he is? But he's not there. He entered death that had held every other man. But on the third day, he rose from the dead. What a triumphant victory! And he was seen on resurrection by many witnesses. Have no doubt, dear friends, have no doubt about it. Jesus is risen from the grave. The hymn says, "Lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus my Saviour. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from that dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose." So, where is he now? He is seated at God's right hand in heaven. All this work done at Calvary, what is he doing now? He is living to God, and he is living to help and support all who have trusted in him. What a person to come to know. And I am inviting you to open your heart and find him tonight. He is essential to your life and mine. Jesus is the necessity of life. What are the necessities in your life? We could ask many persons, what is the necessity in their lives? And how varied might be the answers. One might say, I need this, it's essential to me. Another might say, I need that, it's also essential to me. But there is one necessity that you cannot ignore, and that is to have a personal knowledge of Jesus as your Saviour. You need him now in time. You need him for eternity. How solemn to continue through life, be that life short or long, to continue through that life, still carrying that load and burden of sins. And there comes a point when that life ends, and death, with its cold grasp, takes you into another scene. If you carry your sins in life, dear friend, without trusting in Jesus, you will die in your sins. And in time, you will be raised in your sins. And finally, you will be judged in your sins, condemned in your sins. What a solemn outlook. May it not be the outlook of any who might be listening to this message tonight. And so, you accept him as your Saviour, owning that he died for you. You now have the blessing of salvation as having your sins forgiven. But if the Lord Jesus is available to take away the burden of your sins, he is also available to carry your cares and concerns. The pathway of the believer is not immune from the difficulties of life, but the advantage he or she has is that there is a friend to share these with. The gospel has not in mind that there should only be a one-off transaction with Christ to lift the burden of sins. It is intended that the believer develops a new relationship with the Lord Jesus, which includes casting our care upon him. What a friend he is. Indeed, Peter, who writes this letter that I'm using tonight, Peter here calls him the chief shepherd, and as the shepherd, his eye is on each sheep of his flock. Therefore, the gospel really presents a glorious opportunity to get to know one who can be a saviour for your sins, but also one who can be a shepherd for your cares. So when you are burdened down with the cares of life, speak to him about it. When you feel there is no one else to tell them to, tell him. The Children's Hymn puts it very succinctly. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. How true that is. Our text is casting all your care on him. Your big worries, your big cares, your little worries, your little cares. Someone has said there is nothing too big for God's greatness and nothing too small for God's care. He marks the fall of the sparrow. How much more valuable are you, dear friend, to God than the sparrow? The one who died for you will love you every step of your pathway. There may be someone feeling so lonely tonight, with no one to speak to. Some persons spend a whole day not seeing anyone, not speaking to anyone. Speak to the Lord Jesus. He will listen. He cares. He died for you. He now lives for you. But that old preacher I quoted could also say, sins away, my cares away. What was he then looking for but for the Lord Jesus coming to take him away? Ah, that is the new prospect of the believer, the hope of his heart, to be taken up from this sad world and to be forever with the Saviour. And so, this person I'm presenting to you, first of all, can become your Saviour. He then becomes your shepherd, the one who cares for you. But he also can be the hope of your heart. Scripture calls him that, Christ Jesus, our hope. Is he the hope of your heart, dear fellow believer? Is that hope bright and burning in your heart? As I've said, there's nothing positive in this sad world in which we live. The news from day to day doesn't carry lasting hopes, lasting prospects, but there is one. The Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and to the ages to come, that one can be your living hope that you can fix the vision of your heart on now in the expectancy of his coming. Before I finish, let me ask each person listening to take a few quiet minutes to assess their personal situation. Are you still burdened with your sins? That burden can be gone as you accept that you're a sinner and place your trust in Christ now. You don't need to hold that burden on any longer. So tonight, whether you're in a crowd, whether you're just a lonely individual in a corner of your house, you're before God. He knows all about you. Assess your own situation. Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus? Have you looked at the cross and accepted that that finished work, that shed blood at Calvary, is sufficient to cover all your sins? All you need do is have a conversation with Jesus tonight and repent of your sins. Place your faith in him and in his finished work, and you'll find peace and joy coming into your life. Then they might ask, are you burdened with cares and worries? Tell them to Jesus. He will ease your load. We all have cares. We all have worries. We worry about this. We worry about the next thing. When the Lord Jesus was here, persons saw him. Persons touched him. He touched persons. He spoke to them. One of the things he said to some of them was, come unto me, all ye who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and ye shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's what he said to some when he was here 2,000 years ago. Let me tell you this, dear friend, and this day in 2020, the Lord Jesus is using the same language, and he's inviting you to come with your burden of sin, your burden of cares and worry. He's able, he's willing to take it on so that you can have peace, you can have joy, and you can have a new hope in your heart. He's ready to ease the load of your burden. And so the believer has his burden lifted, the burden of sin. He has his cares now shared with one who's able to handle them. Finally, he has an outlook that is fixed on the coming one, the Lord Jesus Christ. He made that promise to his own, I am coming again. And he's going to keep that promise. Oh friend, where is your outlook tonight? Let it be towards the coming one. The hymn says, coming for me, coming for me. One day from heaven, he is coming for me. Then with what joy his dear face I shall see. Oh, how I praise him. He's coming for me. Well, may that be your language. Oh, how I praise him. And may you be able to say, he's coming for me. And may God bless the word.